नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे हरे कृष्ण वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर टुडेज डिस्कशन ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम माय ऑनेस्ट एंड सिंसियर एंड हमलेस्ट अपॉलॉजीज फॉर बीइंग लेट एंड मेकिंग यू ऑल वेट सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 7 वर्स नंबर 22 तस्यायं मनयायासीत् परेभ्यो वरपराभवः प्रक्षिणेभ्यस्ववैरिभ्य समृद्धानां च यत्सुराः तस्यायं मनयायासीत् परेभ्यो वः पराभवः प्रक्षिणेभ्यस्ववैरिभ्य समृद्धानां च यत्सुराः तस्यायं मनयायासीत् परेभ्यो वः पराभवः प्रक्षिणेभ्यस्ववैरिभ्यः समृद्धानां च यत्सुराः तस्यायं मनयायासीत् परेभ्यो वरः पराभवः प्रक्षिणेभ्यस्ववैरिभ्यः समृद्धानां च यत्सुराः वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन तस्य दैट अयम दिस अनयस्य ऑफ योर अनग्रेटफुल एक्टिविटी आसीत वाज परेभ्यः बाय अदर्स वह ऑफ ऑल ऑफ यू पराभवः द डिफीट प्रक्षिणेभ्यः ऑल्दो दे वर वीक स्ववैरिभ्यः by your own enemies who were previously defeated by you samriddhanam being yourselves very opulent cha and yat which suraha o demigods translation and purport by his divine grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai Because of your misbehavior towards Brihaspati, you have been defeated by the demons. My dear demigods, since the demons were weak, having been defeated by you several times, how else could you, who were so advanced in opulence, be defeated by them? The Devas are celebrated for fighting with the Asuras perpetually. In such fights, the Asuras were always defeated. But this time, the demigods were defeated. Why? The reason as stated here was that they had offended their spiritual master. Their impudent disrespect of their spiritual master was the cause of their defeat by the demons. As stated in the Shastras, when one disrespects a respectable superior, one loses his longevity and the results of his pious activities. And in this way, one is degraded. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं Tato jayamudhiraye. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavatiruttamashloke. Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Krishnaya vasudevaya. Devaki nandanaya cha. Nanda gopakumaraya. Govindaya namo namaha. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yam Pravrajantam Anupetam Anupeta Krityam Dvaipayana Virahakatara Ajuhava Putreti Tanmayataya Taravobhinedu Stham Sarva Bhuta Hridayam Munimanatosmi Hare Krishna. So welcome all of you for today's discussion of Bhagavatam. And I seek everyone's blessings for the assembled from the assembled Vaishnavas, and I speak for my own purification. This chapter, we are discussing this chapter about Indradev offending Brihaspati. Now, this is a part of the sixth canto, which is called as Prescribed Duties for Mankind. And every time such chapters come, as sadhakas, it is nice to meditate upon why the Bhagavata Purana is trying to tell these episodes. And how is it applicable to me as a sadhaka, as a seeker? How is it applicable to me? Because the entire purport of the Vedas can only be understood if one studies the itihasas and the Purana. Itihasa in the sense the Pancharatra, the Ramayana and Mahabharata. And Puranas is the 18 Puranas, and among them the topmost Srimad Bhagavatam. So the purport of the Vedic Shastras has to be understood using the Puranas, and especially the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, in this episode which is going on, we are seeing that Indradev has offended his spiritual master. In fact, all the Devata have offended their spiritual master, Brihaspati. And Brihaspati also is a devotee of the Lord. Right? So that is also... And Sura means devotees actually. Sura or Devatas are devotees of the Lord. They are Vaishnavas. So we will see why this Purana, why the Bhagavatam or Vyasadeva is trying to tell these episodes for us and how is it applicable to us. Now before we study this a little bit, let us take a step back and understand Lord's energies, various energies of the Lords. As we know, how many energies does the Lord have? Broad classification? Sorry? Two energies, right? Antaranga Shakti and Bahiranga Shakti. The external energy and the internal potency of the Lord. So this entire material world that we see, the manifest world, is a manifestation of what energy? The Bahiranga Shakti of the Lord, the external energy of the Lord. And the internal energy is Lord is using it for what? For His eternal abode, which is Vaikuntha, which is Goloka Dham. And the internal potency has three more energies. What are they? Alhadini, Samvit and Sandhini Shaktis, that the Lord uses for His pleasure. These energies He uses for His pleasure in the eternal Dham. As you can see in this photograph, Krishna is walking with the cows. So He's using His three energies there, which is always active, eternally. But the Bahiranga Shakti also has three energies. What are they? The three modes of material nature. So this is how the creation starts. So in the beginning of the creation, the Lord uses these three energies to, it's almost like a paint brush. There are three colors and the painter uses the mixture of three colors to paint this world. So this material world is a combination of these three material modes. Everything, whether it's living being or non-living being, which is a dead matter, they're all composed of these three elements, which is three modes of material nature. And based on the predominant mode, the characteristics of that particular element is manifest. For example, even in material elements like earth, mud is in the mode of? What mode is it in? Ignorance, because it falls down, it's heavy. Water is in the mode of? It always moves everywhere. So it is chanchala, it is mode of passion. And what is in mode of goodness? Agni, fire, because it always has a tendency to go up. No matter where you put the Agni always goes up. So the Shastras classify even non-living beings. What to talk of Jivas like us, living beings like us. So we are also conditioned by these three modes. So that is why the Shastras classified especially the living beings as a separate social classification called as Varna and Ashrama. We all know Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. These are natural classifications of the tendencies and proclivities of the jiva. It has nothing to do with birth. Nobody is a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Shudra by birth. Based on one's nature, we are classified. And we see this classification even in our corporate atmosphere today. You have managers, you have admin staff, you have someone who runs the business, you have someone who does sales, you have some employees who run the business, who work in the business. So there is a natural classification. But this classification is actually more of psychophysical in nature. It's not material in nature. Varna Ashrama is more about how one's tendencies are. In these classifications, the people who are predominantly in mode of goodness, they are called as Brahmanas. Make sense? So that is why Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. Brahmana means one who has understood the purport of the Shastras, that the ultimate object of worship that all Shastras are saying is to worship Hari. Hari Sarvatra Giyate. All Shastras are asking us to worship Hari only, Krishna only. So therefore, Brahmanas are those who have understood this perfectly. Therefore, and how they have understood this? Because they are always establishing themselves in the mode of goodness. So that is why they are Brahmanas. And the rest of the Varnas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, they have to be always under the instruction or guidance of the Brahmanas. Now this is how a hierarchical society had been established. Hierarchy is always there. We always talk about equality, but where is there equality? We all have to vote. We have to go and vote. Now federal elections are coming up. You have to elect a prime minister, you have to elect a president, and they rule us, and there are rules that govern us, right? So there's always hierarchy in the society. You have to work for your boss, the boss works for the CEO, the CEO works for the company. You see, there's hierarchy, it's natural. So this system of hierarchy was established by the Shastra so that everybody follows Brahmanas. Brahmanas means perfect Brahmanas, those who walk the talk, who are in acharan. Acharan means who are practicing what they preach. So, and we know Krishna also mentions about 12 qualities of such Brahmana. Samo damo tapaschaiva kshaucham shantir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma swabhavajam. So he's, Krishna discusses Brahmana's qualities in details. So such a Brahmana might take his position to guide the other three Varnas. Now think about it. To learn anything, we need a teacher. If you want to go to school, you need a teacher. If you want to learn an instrument, you need a teacher. You want to learn anything, you need a teacher. At least you need a book written by someone to read and understand it, isn't it? So teacher is imperative. Whether it is karma, jnana, whatever our desires are. In the same way, in the Shastras, if somebody wanted a son, if somebody wanted a well-being, we invite whom? We invite a priest. We invite a Brahmana to do the activities. So this system was always there. Now, we will take one step above now. Brahmana on a mundane level will come and help sometimes to do some karma, some jnana. He might come and teach us some shastras. He might come and do shraddha karma or jata karma and things like that. But on top of that, the definition that Bhagavatam gives, a Brahmana means whom? A Brahmana means who actually stops one's repeated birth and death. That is the ultimate wealth. That is the ultimate wealth a Brahmana can bestow actually. A Brahmana can come and do jata karma. He might be very happy, we'll do birthday celebration and then he'll come and do some yajna. That is also there, but the ultimate position, now you'll see, when Gangeshwar Prabhu is invited to a birthday ceremony, he also reads Bhagavad Gita. So he doesn't do mundane karma just like that, but he makes sure that it is a devotional activity. That is the true definition of Brahmana, and that is the whole purpose of this hierarchy. Of why this Brahmana is there and what is his purpose. Now let us move from a general definition of Brahmana to the real definition of Brahmana, who is actually a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means one who guides us to Vishnu, one who takes us to Vishnu. A guru or a Brahmana is one who guides us to Vishnu. This is as far as the Shastras are concerned, how the classification is there in the society and etc. Now I'll just want you to think about teachers. Teacher means one who can guide us and take us away from repeated birth and death. Material world is a school. We've all come to this material world. We've all taken birth in this material world. And the purpose, the real purpose of a teacher or a Brahmana or a guru is to take you out of the school successfully. When you go into a school, what is the purpose of it? The whole purpose we go to a school is to remain in the school or to get out of the school. Get out of the school, to pass well and come out of the school successfully, isn't it? So the whole purpose of we going into the material world is not to stay in the material world, but to pass from the material world and get out. That is the whole purpose of a teacher. And that is what the Shastras have ordained. So therefore a guru will take us out. Okay, now you've become successful in your material world. Do your karmas, do your jnana bhakti properly and get out of this material world. But if you think about today's education system, when teachers are teaching us subjects, mundane subjects, whatever, you know, physics, mathematics, biology, sciences, and whatever they teach, how is it classified these days? Especially from where I come from, the country where I come from, most of the teachers in the colleges and schools are those who did not find good jobs. So they end up becoming teachers. Is it not? At least from where I come, that is what happens. Because they didn't get a corporate job. Finally, kya ho jata hai? They end up becoming a professor or a lecturer in some college and they are not happy with that job because salary is less, because they're working for a salary. But Shastra says Brahmanas don't work for a salary at all. Jnana is not given for money. The moment he is giving knowledge for money, vetan, he is not a guru, he is not a teacher, he is a servant actually. So this is what the Shastras say. Therefore, in traditional system, Brahmanas never accepted fees. They only accepted danam. Danam means what? Donation. If they get donation, they live. It's not that today also there is a system in Indian schools. Before you put your child to the school, they will say, donation madam, please, 5 lakh rupees. They'll say, we need 5 lakh. They'll ask the donation, how much donation you need to give. So dakshina means not that donation. That's not donation, that is extortion. But they'll say, you need to give donation of 5 lakh rupees, 10 lakh rupees. And especially if you're doing medicals, it's, my God, it goes into crores now. Now think about the doctors under whom we have to take treatment. This person wants to do medical because he wants to earn, not because he wants to treat. So therefore, the whole society will become handicapped because of the whole educational system. That was the Vedic educational system. But in modern educational system, this is the problem. But interestingly, there is a country, even today, where teachers are the highest paid in the whole country. You know which country is that? Finland. Finland teachers must be PhD, even school teachers. And they are the highest paid among all types of employees, among all types of workers. And that is the respect they have for teachers, because they say teachers are the one who shape the society. So importance it's been given to teachers. So Australia also should learn something about it. And why this system is there? Because, as we were saying, this material world is composed of three material energies, which is Rajas, Tamas and Sattva. That means we are conditioned by nature. Is it not? We are conditioned by nature. How do we get knowledge? How do we get knowledge? We are all conditioned. How do we get knowledge? Sorry? Okay, but what's the means? Correct. The means is the five senses. They are called as jnanendriyas. The Shastra says knowledge acquiring senses. Sense of touch, sense of smell, sense of hearing. So we hear, we see. Isn't it? When you go to a school, the teacher writes on the board. So you are seeing and you are hearing the teacher. These are the two predominant senses that work. Is it not? But these senses are defective already because it's material. Is it not? Because if they were all perfect, then all students in the class are hearing the same lessons, but they are taking different grades. Why so? Then you will say, Prabhuji, that intelligence levels are different. That means there are diversification in the school. That means it's not perfect. If it was perfect, then everybody should be on the same level. So therefore, these senses are imperfect. Any knowledge that we get from these senses are always there will always be some limitation to them. So therefore, Brahmana's duty is to elevate the disciple and give him what he cannot take. For example, I am not eligible to get something that is beyond my reach. So my guru's responsibility is to give it to me. Not by my own might, but by the mercy. We sing early in the morning, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, Yasya prasadat nagati kutopi. So Guru gives us the mercy. So therefore, the problem with conditioned jivas is, especially why we need brahmanas, because brahmanas are mode of goodness, and anything that they give will also be in mode of goodness. Because anyone else, whether it's Kshatriya, whether it's Shudra, whether it's Vaishya, they have mixed modes. Of course, Brahmana also is mixed most of the times, but he's predominantly mode of goodness. So therefore, the moment mode of passion increases, defects start creeping in. You're getting my point? Somebody who is very passionate, what will he do? He will do mistakes. So therefore, Kshatriyas are prone to make mistakes. So therefore, there should always be under the guidance of Brahmanas. And in this case, Indra is whom? Indra is the king. So he's a Kshatriya. He's playing the role of a Kshatriya. And Brihaspati is a Brahmana. So general, the Shastras, tenet of the Shastras is Indra must always be guided under the jurisdiction or under the guidance of Brihaspati or the Brahmana or the Guru. But in this case, he did Guru Avahelna, means he disrespected his spiritual master. Because of, in the previous verse yesterday, Anirudh Prabhu was saying, Prabhupada writes, familiarity breeds contempt. Now one may think, how does this familiarity breeds contempt come in? How does one disrespect his Guru? I remember when I was in school, when the teacher used to come, we used to stand up, we used to say, welcome teacher. Good morning, teacher, and welcome, teacher. And she used to say, please sit down. Then we used to sit down. And she used to go out, we used to stand again. And I don't know if that is followed in today's schools. Do you do this in the schools today? The students are sitting and the teacher comes in. So these are subtle etiquettes, actually. The reason is, it is said in the Shastras, if we do not respect elders, elders doesn't only mean Brahmanas. Elder means even somebody who is Vriddha. Vriddha means... Vriddha doesn't mean old. Vriddha means who is matured, who is senior to us in age, in knowledge. It can be someone who is younger to me, but matured beyond my knowledge. He is matured, more matured than me in terms of knowledge. The idea is, if we do not pay respects, respect means to pay obeisances or at least to stand. You see, what happens? Kshine. That is why, if you read this verse now, pra kshine bhyaha. You see, kshine means ghatna, reduce hona. So our auspiciousness gets reduced. That is why shastras ordain that when you see some elders pay obeisances to their feet. This is there in the culture. When you see elders, your father, parents, or uncle who's elder to us, you take obeisances from them, take blessings from them. When you see brahmanas, vaishyas, when you see a sannyasi, you should pay obeisances. When you see a spiritual master, you should pay obeisances. If you don't, actually it is not auspicious for only us only. They are not asking for it. They don't need it. But it is good for us. If we sit and receive them, it is said that our auspiciousness becomes kshine, they get reduced, or it is removed, our auspiciousness. Auspiciousness for Indra, how was it removed? He lost all his wealth and they were defeated by the asuras, right? But sometimes in the material world, auspiciousness can be removed by giving wealth also. You have to understand that. Somebody who can become too wealthy, that means he has got inauspiciousness in his life. So we have to be careful. Just because somebody becomes too wealthy doesn't mean he's become too auspicious. Inauspiciousness can also come if somebody is becoming too wealthy. Janmaishwarya Shritashibhir Yedamana Madah Puman. Kunti Devi says, Janma Aishwarya, somebody who thinks who is too wealthy, that can be an impediment for him to come to Hari. In this case, Indradev. Now one may ask, why is story of Indra coming here? Now, why does it put Indra's story here? Because Indra is the pinnacle of wealth. He is the owner of the wealth of all the three worlds, actually. Nobody can be as wealthy as Indra in these three worlds. What to talk of only earthly planets. Nobody can be. Even Kubera works under Indra. So he is the king of the three worlds. He's so rich. And even he disrespected his spiritual master. So what to talk of us? So therefore, it is very important. That's why Bhagavatam brings in these characters to teach us that wealth or opulence. Wealth doesn't only mean material wealth. It doesn't mean only Lakshmi. It doesn't mean only rupee or dollars. Wealth could be anything. It could be fame. It could be abhiman due to knowledge. I'm very knowledgeable. Therefore, I tend to disrespect. So anything that sits into our head and becomes puffed up because of that. It could be anything. Because of our talent, skills, wealth, whatever. That can bring us down. Janma, Aishwarya, Shrita, Shribhir. Any of these three can bring us down and bring us inauspiciousness. Or can make us content. You see, familiarity breeds contempt. Why this happened? Because Indradeva was puffed up because of his wealth. Because of that, he went into mode of passion. When he went into mode of passion, he fell down. So that is why we should always be under the guidance of someone who is in the mode of goodness. So that is why this episode comes here. And Brihaspati is always in the mode of goodness. So therefore he is the teacher of the devatas. But beautiful in the story, what is the beautiful episode that is happening here? Those who are devotees or well-natured people, we are conditioned jivas, we agree. We will fall down, we make mistakes. But those who are good in nature, they learn from their mistakes. They quickly correct themselves. Oh my God, I did a mistake. I shouldn't have done this. My sincere apologies. They are repentant and heart. Repentant heart is very important. And that is what is happening here. Now they have approached Brahmadev. They are repenting. Our apologies. We disrespected Brihaspati. So therefore, please help us. Please save us. And if you see, the whole episode is paving the way for a very important Kavacham that is coming up in the next chapter, Narayana Kavacham. That had to come out, that had to manifest in Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, that is why Indradev is just a character in all of these episodes for that, so that Narayana Kavacham can come out for all of benefit of all of us. So, now if you take this example and apply in our Guru Parampara, we are from which Parampara? Madhva Gaudiya Parampara. What does Guru, now we have said, understood Guru comes to deliver us and everything, but what does Guru come to give us in our parampara? We just sang the mantra in the Guru Puja. We do Guru Puja every day.
Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadma Bandho Moi Savadhana Mate.
I had never understood that paragraph's meaning till date, actually, unless I was preparing for this. I did not know the meaning of Sadma. Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadma. You know what is the meaning of Sadma? What is the meaning of Sadma? Yeah, that is in Hindi. But in Bengali, Sadma means an abode, a reservoir. Kevala Bhakti Sadma. He's a reservoir of bhakti. What is the reservoir of bhakti? Shri Guru Charana Padma. We also sing this in Hanuman Chalisa. Shri Guru Charana Saroja Raja. What is Saroja Raja? Saroja means what? Lotus. Sarovara means lake. Ja means one born out of a lake. Sarovara. Sarovara means what? Lake. Ja means to take janma. Janma means ja. Ja is the dhatu of janma. Janani pradurbhave iti ja. So ja, saroja means lotus. Guru charana saroja raja. Raja means what? Dust. Raj, braj we say, right? It's the dust. Nijamana Mukuru Sudhari, we sing in Hanuman Chalisa. By the dust of the lotus feet of the spiritual master, my heart gets cleansed. And similarly, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma. His lotus feet of the spiritual master is the reservoir of bhakti. So, Bandho Moi Savadhana. So, Bandho means Vandho. I'm playing obeisances. How should I pay obeisances? Savadhan. Very carefully I have to. Savadhana mate. Mate means mate. Very carefully and consciously I have to pay obeisances to this lotus feet of the spiritual master. Why? Because he's the reservoir of bhakti. He gives us kevala bhakti sadma. He's the abode of bhakti. You see? And that is what all our guru parampara is about. That guru comes us to give what? What bhakti? In our parampara he comes to give us prema bhakti. He comes to give us prema bhakti. And that is why lotus feet of the spirit. Why is it called as lotus feet? Why is it called as lotus? Krishna also has lotus feet, isn't it? Pankaj, we say. Pada Pankaj. Guru also has a lotus feet. Why do we say he is the lotus feet? Of Krishna. But why lotus again? Again, similarly, Guru, especially a Vaishnava Guru, does not belong to this world. He is not a mundane, conditioned jiva like us. He doesn't get conditioned by the three modes like the conditioned jivas. He will be in the material world and still he is unconditioned. Therefore, his feet is lotus feet. Therefore, we take the shelter of his lotus feet. That is why he is called as lotus feet. And anyone, if you see, the lotus flower is in the water. But the water cannot wet the lotus flower. You've seen that? The lotus flower is always dry, even though it's in the water. So if somebody takes the shelter of the lotus feet, means what? Let's say if there is a bee which sits inside the lotus flower, does it get wet? It doesn't. So therefore, lotus flower is a shelter for the bee from the water. In the same way, this water of material existence, one can be saved if we take the shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Therefore, that's why everything is compared to the lotus feet. And lotus is very fragrant. And lotus flower blossoms in sunrise and closes in sunset. You see? So therefore, we have to take the shelter. Yanisha sarva bhutanam. So we have to take the shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And he will tell us when to be awake, to what things to be awake for, and when we have to close our eyes. We have to close our eyes for adharma or things like that. So therefore, that is why the shastras compare the lotus feet of the spiritual master. In fact, the acharyas say, what is the purpose of our sadhana? Why are we doing sadhana? Why are we doing japa, bhakti? Why do we do all of this? Okay. Why do we do it? Krishna prema. Now, think about it. We are so conditioned. Do we think that my sadhana can please Krishna? That I am so nice that my sadhana Krishna, oh my God, who is this person chanting so nicely? Do you think a conditioned jiva can attract Krishna like that?
Acharyas say
our whole purpose of sadhana is just to please the spiritual master. That's all. Our sadhana's purpose is so that Guru gets pleased. When the Guru gets pleased, what will you do? Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. He will give because he is the abode of bhakti. So therefore there are two things. The object of love, the abode of love. What is the object of love? What is the object of love? Krishna, is it not? So Krishna is always there in whom? In the abode of love, which is the spiritual master. They are called as Ashraya Tattva. Ashraya Tattva and Vastu Tattva. Vastu Tattva is Krishna. We all want to become servants of Krishna. But to get Krishna, we have to take shelter of whom? From the Ashraya Tattva, which is Guru. So Guru ke andar baithe hai Krishna. Krishna is inside because he is the abode of bhakti. Because we just now sang, Kevala Bhakati Sadma. Sadma means abode. So therefore, if we take the ashray of Guru, he will give us Krishna Bhakti. So therefore, the whole purpose of sadhana is to please the Guru. If Guru only gets pleased, then Krishna gets pleased. I cannot overrule Guru. I cannot think that I will please Krishna directly. I have to please the spiritual master. Yasya prasadat. So, why? Because he is always Nikunjayo no rati keli sidhyai. Constantly in his heart, pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and he's arranging for the pastimes. So, spiritual master, why is he? Abode means what? It's a house.
Tumhare hridaye sada Govinda Vishram.
Tumhare hridaye sada Govinda Vishram. The spiritual master always carries Krishna in their heart. So, therefore, we take shelter of that spiritual master who carries Krishna in their heart. Therefore, when we talk about 64 angas of bhakti, as the preachers were discussing in the last sessions, Guru Padashraya, that is the first step. Second step is Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam, and then the third is Vishrambhayana Guru Seva. So therefore, one has to do Seva of the Guru. Seva, how do we do Seva of the Guru? Correct. So follow his instructions. So following instructions of the spiritual master is very important. I'll tell you an episode. I was there in Mayapur recently. One of the sannyasi was saying, it is written in the shastras, whenever you see the spiritual master, you have to pay obeisances. So he was paying obeisances to his spiritual master. But then, you know, the problem of conditioned jiva is logic takes over reality. What you see is not reality. We all are logical in thoughts, you know. So he thought, I have paid obeisances to my guru in the morning. Why I have to? So he is going and coming inside and outside of the room of the spiritual master. So he's thinking, do I have to pay obeisances every time I enter? I'm entering and leaving about 20, 30 times a day. Let's be practical. Let's be logical. I'll pay once in the morning and once in the end. So his mind was thinking like that. So he stopped paying obeisances. So one or two days later, the spiritual master called him, and the spiritual master said, you see, disciples these days have become very disrespectful to the spiritual master. Till then, he was also a sannyasi. I'm talking of a disciple who is also a sannyasi. The sannyasi thought, oh, maybe somebody has done some offense to Guru Maharaj. He says, Guru Maharaj, what is the problem? He says, disciples come to my room, but they don't pay obeisances to me. Immediately, the sannyasi Maharaj understood that it is actually talking about me. So that means, sometimes logic takes the better of us. In devotion, logic has no place to play. Tarka. This is there in the shastras. People talk about logic. Most of the Buddhists base their logic on logic only. Tarka. Tarka means logic. So things cannot be understood by logic. These devotion to spiritual master cannot be understood by logic. Yes, if the spiritual master says, now you don't pay obeisances hereafter for today, then that is okay. But a disciple should continue to pay obeisances to the spiritual master or a guru or a brahmana as much as possible. Because every time we pay obeisances, we get benefited. It's our own benefit. Someone might think, you know, somebody is going to the gym to do push-ups. It's better you pay obeisances to the senior acharyas. That's also even better for your health, from a physical health also, you see. Dandavats. So that is why we have to pay obeisances to the spiritual master. And in this case, what happened is, when Indradeva did Guru Avahelna, when he did not, when he disrespected his spiritual master, he did not come and receive the spiritual master. The spiritual master was very displeased. Narottam Das Thakur says this,
Haristhane aparadhe tare harinam tomasthane aparadhe nahi paritran.
If we offend Krishna, if we offend Krishna, tare harinam, Harinam can deliver us. Krishna doesn't mind. If you chant the holy name of the Lord, that offense is excused. Even offense to Krishna. Huh? Tomastane. If somebody offends a spiritual master, then everything is destroyed. So that is what is happening to Indra, that he lost everything. He lost all his opulence and he was badly defeated by the asuras. So that is what we see in this example. So therefore it is very important for us to always be respectful to senior Vaishnavas, to anyone who we see or respect, pay obeisance. When we pay obeisances, it should not be just physical. Savadhane, it has to be consciously paid obeisance, that I am really paying obeisances and I am actually lower. One should feel lower, and that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us in the third stanza of Shikshashtakam. These are the only teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he has left us. And among that he says, Trinadapi suni chena Tarorivas sahishnuna amani namana dena kirtaniya sadaharihi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu guides us like this. In fact, we see by the demeanor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself that he never. In fact, I was reading the glorious life of Narottam Das Thakur. We will see how he was crying for his spiritual master, to see his spiritual master. He says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also writes,
Jogyata vichare kichu nahi pai. Tumhara karuna sara.
Acharya says, actually, whatever I am today, it is only your bhiksha. I don't have any qualification to do anything. It is only your bhiksha. Karuna na hoile kandiya kandiya. If you don't give me mercy, I can only cry, cry, cry. So like that, when I was reading the glorious life of Narottam Das Thakur, he was crying to see his spiritual master, Loknath Maharaj. He was crying. Loknath Goswami, he cried all the way from Bengal to Vrindavan. If you read, there is a beautiful book called as The Glorious Life of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Grab the book before it runs out of print, written by Her Grace Sheetala Mataji. It's a wonderful book to read and everybody must have a copy of that book. And in that, Mataji explains how penchant he was to seek the mercy of the spiritual master. Even though Narottam Das Thakur actually had received prema directly from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you read the book, you will come to know that he got prema directly, which was left by Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Still, he followed the instructions and he wanted to seek the instructions from his spiritual master. And we all know what he was doing. His spiritual master did not want to initiate him. He said, I don't want to accept any disciple, because he had taken a vow that I will not make any disciples, because he was thinking, I am lower than a grass. What disciples can I make? That was the mood of the spiritual master. So, therefore, we see this mood in our sampradaya. Huh? And if you see, where is this mood coming from? Ultimately, our acharyas take the mood from where? Our acharyas take the mood from the ultimate servant of Krishna. Who is it? Radharani. So therefore, that is why all our acharyas are servants or servitors of Radharani. And they come to give us this bhakti, this Krishna bhakti. That is why Krishna prema can be given by Radharani, not by Krishna. You see? So therefore, we are the servants of Gopi, Pada, Kamalaya, Bhartu, Dasa, 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 Anudasa. So we are in the servants of Gopis, not even Radharani. The Gopis who serve the Ashtasakhis, like that. And then the spiritual master who serves the Gopis. So, therefore it is very important for a practitioner to meditate. I'll just summarize. These episodes in Bhagavatam teach us that the significance of respect to a spiritual master, especially if we have taken Dikshadi. And our acharyas also teach us, I'll tell you one more episode and then I'll stop. Omnipresence, is Guru omnipresent? Yes and no, in one sense. Of course, Krishna is the only one who is omnipresent. Omnipresent means he is everywhere. But Guru,
exists everywhere in terms of perception, how we perceive. An example, Saraswati Thakur gives an example where he says, the gopis in the Rasasthali, when Krishna became adrishya, when Krishna became, when he disappeared, what did the gopis do? They did not search Krishna by their own might. That's what Thakurji says. They did not search Krishna by their own might. They were asking the jackfruit trees. They were asking the kadamba trees, have you seen Krishna? So they were seeing Guru in the trees also. So seeking Krishna means not that I go and seek Krishna on my own might, my own sadhana. No, it is only because of yasya prasadat, only Krishna. So they were seeing the perception of Guru or omnipresence of the Guru even in the trees. So that is what the gopis teach us. So therefore, as sadhakas, we should be able to perceive the spiritual master in every Vaishnava around us. What to talk of trees and, even in Bhagavatam, you will see, we'll talk of 21 gurus later. Huh? So like that, one has to perceive the instructions of the guru in each and everything. One should be reminded of the guru every time. I'll tell you one small episode. There was one sannyasi disciple serving his spiritual master in Vrindavan. It was a very austere setting. The guru sleeps on a cot and rest all of them sleep on the floor using, the straw mat. Borya, we say, chatai. So a devotee from Melbourne visited and he said, those who were sleeping down, there were sannyasis also. There were sannyasis, and they were all old. In fact, they were at least 55 plus. They were disciples of this Maharaj, Sannyasi Maharaj. So this devotee from Melbourne says, Maharaj, I have a room in MVT. So please you come there and rest. He proposed. He said, so much austerity, you should sleep on a cot. Can I arrange some nice bed or something? Then the disciple sannyasi said, when my Guru Maharaj is sleeping on a cot, do you want me to disrespect him and sleep in comfort? What have you understood what it means to be a disciple? You want me to be comfortable in front of my Guru? So he was talking like that. Sometimes when we hear... when we hear like this, it's difficult to comprehend. So he said, Maharaj, then can I propose something? And he was very humble to ask. He said, MVT is just 5 minutes from here. So I will pick you up and drop you every night, Maharaj. Please, you come, you can sleep in our room. There is a little bit facility and I'll drop you back. He got chastisement from that sannyasi disciple. He said, how fool are you? Are you thinking my Guru Maharaj will not be there in your MVT? So you are saying I should take comfort when my Guru Maharaj is not around? So you are telling me that I should think that my Guru Maharaj is not seeing me when I am being very comfortable in your room? So you have not understood what Guru means. So he got heavy chastisement. So this devotee was sharing with me that this omnipresence of Guru concept I did not understand at all, Prabhuji. After meeting this sannyasi, I came to know that one has to feel the presence of the Guru all the time, at all times, places and circumstances. Even when he is there, when he is not there. Here in case of Indra, he disrespected when he was here. But our Acharya says you should not be disrespectful even when he is not physically present. So can you even imagine the instruction and the depth of that instruction, and that is there for our own benefit? So I'll just summarize. So it's very important that one must take the spiritual master very seriously. Not only the spiritual master, but a Brahmana, a Vaishnava, but anyone who is giving us Krishna Bhakti, anyone who is helping us to proceed towards Krishna, one has to be always humbler than a blade of grass, genuinely, and then seek their blessings, because life is very short and we have to make the most out of it. So the more blessings we get, the better. And these episodes teach us a wonderful lesson. Even though if we make mistakes, we have to be apologetic, we have to ask excuse if we have unknowingly done. So therefore, that is why Acharya say, every day we take darshan of the deities and Prabhupada, we have to pray, please excuse my apacharas. Whether I've offended Krishna, Vaishnavas or Bhagavatas, or unknowingly I've committed an offenses, please excuse me. So these excuses, we have to always pray and seek excuses. That's what we do when we do Vancha Kalpatarubhyasa. With this, I'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments or corrections, we can discuss for a while.
Before you talk about the lower element, mud,
yeah.
higher than fire or lower than fire? No, I don't need it, I think.
Yeah, so generally when they classify the three modes, these are the three modes which are classified, that fire, earth, and water. Air and space, air and ether, akashad vayuhu, vayor agnihi. So vayu comes before agni. So vayu, they say, in one sense, vayu is superior, or it is superior to mode of goodness in one sense. But this is just a notional understanding for us to understand that, yes, there are three elements and even they can be classified in the three modes. What does vayu and ether get classified? I'm not sure, Prabhuji. But sometimes transcendental knowledge is compared to the sky. Omnipresence of knowledge, omnipresence of the Lord is compared to air, because air is present everywhere. Air as in not the atmospheric air, but air as in vayu. There is air outside in space also. So air doesn't mean the air we breathe. Air means vayu in an abstract sense. So the elements are compared for in a notional sense. Whether it's really mode of goodness or not, I'm not sure. But Agni, yes, mode of goodness, because it purifies anything that you put in it. So from that perspective, it is mode of goodness. Therefore, if you do yajna, we do all oblations into Agni. Because Agni also is the tongue of the Lord. So the tongue, the Lord accepts everything and converts it into ashes. So from that notional perspective, it is compared. Hope I've answered your question, Prabhuji. Yes, Sevya. Yes. Can you repeat that question again? The teachers get salary.
Yeah.
Yeah. ISKCON, no, are you being charged some fee for coming to Bhagavatam class? Please tell me otherwise. Okay. So Bhakti Shastri, the teachers do not teach for salary. I don't teach Bhakti Shastri and take salary for it. But yes, the fees is there. The fees goes to Radha Vallabha, as if you're putting money into the hundi. So it's going to the temple. Does it make? Is that the question? Is that the question you're asking? Bhakti Shastri? In? Gurukul? Oh, yes. Okay. In Gurukul, they are paid salaries. Yes, but those salaries, what does a brahmana do from a salary? If he's paid a salary, what does he do? He uses is in kshama, dama, tapa, saucham, kshanti, rarjavam. He's engaging it in kshama, dama, tapa, in austerities. So you see how a brahmana lives a very simple life, austere life, like that. So he doesn't, austerity in deed and austerity in thought also. So they don't use it to live a very opulent life. They live according to the shastras and use that money in bhakti. So that is allowed. That is allowed. Because in modern days, the concept of donation is not there. Because people are so, educational system has dropped out. They do not know what to donate, how to donate, whom to donate, when to donate. So therefore, there is a system in our gurukuls where the teachers can be paid some salary. But there are, if you see the teachers, they live, they'll practically lead their life like a perfect brahmana. So therefore, you can consider that salary as a part of donation only, because in one sense, they have given their life to teach Krishna Bhakti in our gurukuls. So therefore, that is allowable in a good sense, if you know what I mean. Does it answer your question? Indra, sorry,
can you
say? Okay, what was the disrespect he did? It was a very simple disrespect. We had, if you hear yesterday's class, Anirudh Prabhu was explaining that to us, that when the spiritual master came in, Indra was engrossed in watching the nritya in the assembly. He's a king. So in his kingly affairs, his entertainment, everything was going on. When the spiritual master comes, how do we receive a spiritual master? We know how we receive senior Vaishnavas when they arrive. You see, we garland them, welcome them. Even if a guest comes, we do that. What to talk of spiritual master? When a guest comes, we invite them, ask them to take a seat, asan grahan kariye. We give them a glass of water. So this is the general etiquette. If we have not practiced it with guests, we will never do it with the spiritual master. You know what I mean? If this culture is not practiced in-house with everything, that is why I remember once Senior Mataji was saying, we need to train children to do this in temples also. When you see one very old lady, one old lady was here. So one of us should have given her a chair. We should have seen that she was comfortable. You see, this etiquette is very important for us to nurture. If we don't nurture that culture, then it is very easy that we'll offend a senior Vaishnava when he comes. So we should be observant ki koi vriddha, some old person is coming or some senior is coming. Let us make them comfortable. He did not get up and receive the spiritual master. He saw the spiritual master and he continued his enjoyment. So he thought, anyways, I see him every day. He'll come and sit in his place. So that is what disrespect. And it was a very big disrespect which he did. It was a very big. Why? Because when a normal person disrespects, it's not considered to be big. But he was the emperor. He was the king. Therefore, it becomes multiple, it's a massive disrespect because he is setting an example to his followers. So therefore, he has to, like any Bhakti Vriksha leader or any mentor, if he is disrespecting some senior Vaishnavas, then he's not setting a good example. So therefore, the offense is much bigger. So he has more responsibility on his shoulders. So therefore, that is why he has to go through all of this. And of course, he's not a bad person, as we know. He's already repenting for it. For whatever reason, he's gone into mode of passion. But it is for us to learn that it can happen to anyone. And we have to be very cautious. That is why if you see, when Brahmadev starts creating, the first thing he asks is, save me from mode of passion. He asks, please promise me that I won't fall into mode of passion. Because Brahmadev knows, mode of passion, once it comes, then it envelops and it will put us in avidya, ignorance. And then quickly we will get on to all of these offenses and mistakes. Does it make sense, Prabhuji? Thank you. So we'll stop here. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindi ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.